This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR. If you enjoy this MPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us Sue Wheeler.
Milton Wheeler.
Ross Kessels.
And I'm Vicky Marie Buchanan. Milton, welcome. Last week you were telling us about your childhood in Glenarua and growing up on the farm. And tell us about, you were talking about welding and you studied welding. Tell us about that, when you were doing that.
Yeah, well, when Dad had had enough of milking cows, he decided to buy a bit of land in Rangatira, and we shifted to Rangatira and have our welding shop there. Dad did the repairs for the farmers around about with the welding, and so I carried on with my younger brother when we shifted to Rangatira.
So did he teach you welding, or did you go to college to learn welding?
Basic grounding, I guess, from Dad. But it was really the night school that I went to, the QEC.
Right.
Technical College, under the auspices of Bill Minto.
Right. Was that a year's course, or was
it like... was as long as we'd like to keep going, we could attend.
Right.
And they're just trying to improve on with our welding. We do a welding strip,
mm-hmm.
and then we put a hacksaw cut halfway through it, and then put it in the press and break it open to see if there's any flaw lines in it.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, if there was slag in it, that was a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be solid steel all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just not a matter of running a weld along a crack. It was a matter of veeing it out and making it so it will penetrate right through. That was for the electric welding. Today it has become a bit obsolete. It is now all done with a MIG welder.
Right.
But for all that, I still feel that stick welder has its place, especially out in the open air.
Right.
That, MIG welders require gas to work efficiently.
Right.
But the wind force blows it away, and that's not good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So consequently, we have to really revert back to stick welding, being more so out in the open air, like on construction sites, etc.
Mm-hmm. So do we have to in the industry? Do they use both forms
of
welding?
Yes, they can. Yes, they do. But it's a lot neater with a MIG welder. There's no slag.
Right.
Whereas the stick welder, there's a slag on the top, you have to chip it off.
Right.
Where you don't get that with a MIG welder.
Right, right.
But then, because once we had the welding ability, we had to get something to do.
Mm.
So I made these, we went to Wellington once a month, perhaps with Dad, to go to the railway workshops to get pipes for making gates.
Okay.
And we also, at that stage, when tractors were going out and tankers were coming in, the farmers couldn't be bothered walking down to open the gate for the tanker driver, so they put in cattle stops. So consequently, going to railway workshops presented a lot of railway line available. So we used to bring home a trailer load or truck load, whatever the case we had at the time.
Right.
And cut the rail lines to length for the farmers.
So the railway lines were the actual metal that was used for the cattle stops?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They were strong enough to take the weight of a tanker, etc.
Right.
What sort of truck did you go down to Wellington in?
We had a Bedford that we bought off Duckworth in town here.
Yeah.
It was only about 3 tonne, which was...
Yeah.
It had a good road speed, it was 40 mile an hour, whereas once we got back to the old 5 ton Bedford truck, it was quite a bit slower.
Yeah.
So we would stay down in Wellington at the People's Palace down there.
Cuba Street.
Cuba Street, that's right.
Mm. And we parked in nice and close to the... When we were coming home, we were sort of wanting to find a park, so we parked right outside this Chinaman's shop. And it was all right, but it was always a bit tight with trams being down there. And
right.
You had to sort of pick your time to get out of that place there.
Yeah.
Right.
So we full lock on the steering wheel and around, and the back of the tray swung around, knocked the pole out from under his shed, his veranda.
Oh, no, it's a Chinese man.
he wasn't very happy about it, so we put it all right for him. And yeah, but we just couldn't believe we had rotten luck, really. But
you had some other funny things happen going to Wellington.
Yes, it was in the winter time when we were going to Wellington. Dad always appreciated what these fellows were doing for him, and he would give them a dozen eggs or something like
that.
That was good. He used to pick up maybe 5 or 6 dozen eggs from the local poultry farmer on the way to Wellington, and we were going around the Wairakina, not Wairakina.
White Reary
turn off.
Right.
And we spun around the truck 2 times and back into the bank and never left the road. Why we didn't go over the edge, I don't know. Whoa. We didn't, but all we did was start up again and go on our merry way. And it only broke about 6 eggs anyway, but that was irrelevant. But it could have been a whole lot worse than what we were thinking.
Was that a gravel road then? Or tar seal?
And it was tar seal with ice on it.
Oh, okay.
Hill was high enough there. They've knocked the hill down now.
Yes.
But the hill was high enough to shade the road.
Mm. Right.
And,
yeah.
What about getting rid of the scrap over the hill?
I don't think that's a good one.
I think it is, because that's funny.
Well, Dad used to know the fellas at the bus barn next door to the railway workshops, and got to know them quite well. And he would tell Dad when these buses, old buses they'd finished with, were coming up for tender.
So these are railways, road service buses.
NZR buses, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were service cars, actually, they were called.
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
And he used to use, the fellow Angus was one of them that had his name written on the door.
Yeah.
Towed this thing. I used to steer that. Dad, we didn't put a rope between the two vehicles to tow it home. We had a stiff pole with a universal on the other end underneath one that was being towed, and it's hitched on the back of the Bedford truck. Well, I steered it home and Dad drove, and the job was right, it was underway. But once we had all this, and we reached a record for the trailers to make the trailers, you see, and consequently, we had all this tin work from around the bonnet and mud guards and one thing and another, and the bumper was on the front. And what are we going to do with this all this tin work? We go to Wellington, we go up over the Pike Op to go to the hut workshop. We'll tip it over the bank at the top. So over the edge she went. And several weeks later we had Mr. Pike, the local policeman, come to see us. And I couldn't sort of realise what... wondered why we were having a policeman come to see us, because we were law-abiding citizens, as we thought. But he came in and I said, have you been responsible for putting over banks at the top of Pycock Hill? we had to own up to it. And yes, we did drop a mudguard off over there. And, well, you'll have to, one thing you've got to do, you either pay somebody to do it, or you have to go and shift it yourself. Consequently, when we look back, that wasn't a good idea, because if misfortune would have had it, that it could have rolled down the bottom of the hill onto the railway tracks.
Yes, yeah.
So that was all fixed up and all done. But we often wondered how they got to know that we were guilty.
Yes, somebody must have seen you.
No, they didn't.
Oh, okay.
They found out the number plate on this mud guard and traced it back through the cellar. Who it was, and he got the policeman and then come to the wheelers.
Oh.
But anyway, that happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
The old service cars, they were a sort of low bus with doors
on the side, weren't they?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 What make were they? What, you know?
Cadillacs.
Cadillacs. Did you ever ride in those?
Never had anything to do with those,
no. Yeah. I remember seeing one at Picton. It must have been one of the last of them.
So then you were you were in Rongatea now, living in...
Yep, making...
With your dad.
Miscellaneous.
Right.
We made dog kennels for the run.
Okay.
We made hay racks.
Right.
And then a man came along, wanted some calf troughs made.
Right.
They were made of, tin, but tin wasn't in my line of business, but we had to make a frame for them after the tin was made anyway by the tinsmith. And the farmers left them out in the paddock and they used to get rusty and that, so they were a bad buy from their point of view, so I started making them. I got a mould made up to get it made so you make a plastic troughs.
Right.
The mould was big enough so that when your mould was finished being made, that we could cut it in half and we got two troughs out of it.
Right.
So that was that.
So because of all your experience on the farm as well, and then with your own experience with welding, you worked out a design that would work and be sustainable on the farm for the farmers, is that right?
Yes, correct.
You didn't patent that?
I quite like doing the repairs for the farmers.
Right.
The farmers had wrecked things, I like to weld them up for them and
get
them going again.
Always a good time to have a good yarn with them too, wouldn't it be?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You did that type of tool quite recently, mend things for farmers?
Yes, I have done, that's true, but the best one we had of was the land leveller. That was one of the big things we made.
Mm.
It was originally the farmer was the contractor sent the farmer with a wooden leveller, most made out of hardwood.
Okay.
And it had wheels on the back. That was the clue, was the wheels on the back. That was
right.
Because you could put it on the back of the hydraulics.
Right.
Lift it up, it would drop a stirrup.
Right.
Put it back down again and go again.
Right.
Well, it was made of wood. And this farmer said, he'd been a contractor. He said, he wanted a steel one made, same measurements. And the wheels were the answer, really, and I used them, used parts from tough ploughs, put the wheels on the back so I could lift them up and lower them down by hand. But then the hydraulics come along, and hydraulic wheels were fitted to them. It was a lot more practical, just a little lever instead of having to get off and shift them up and down. They just pulled a lever and the hydraulics went up and down. So I say they're all over New Zealand now, these steel levelers.
Wow. So this was Milton Wheeler's business in Rangatea, or?
Yes, my view was Wheeler Engineering at the time.
Wheeler Engineering. So it was just you or your family?
Well, my brother, he'd be doing other things, but then he left later.
Right,
in the piece and went and worked for the deer factory.
So how old were you, Milton, when this business started?
Probably 25, 30.
Okay.
30 when we got...
And then you took that right through until...
Then...
You kept it going until how long, do you think?
So I moved into town.
Right.
And we went and worked for Rice and Grain.
Right.
Loading trucks.
Right.
One of the big trucks we had to load was Mr. Bell,
the
dry cleaning man, who carted the wheat from here up to the mills in Auckland.
Right.
Yeah.
Bit of a hit and miss to get the right amount into those big round tanks on the back of his truck. So they weren't too heavy, it's easy to get it in there, but not so easy to get it out. That was.
You shifted from your parents' house and went to live in the oldest house in Rangatea?
Oh, when I first got married, they were the oldest.
The oldest house?
The oldest house in Rangatea.
Oh, which
still
one
there?
Was
still there.
Oh, which one was that one?
Just up from the sale yards.
Up towards Palmerston or
it's on a side road, isn't it?
It's up a side road.
Yeah.
Clawson, Mr. Clawson owned it. Red Clawson was his name.
Right. Okay.
I must have got a bit tired because we also had another fella come in and do the drains as well. I think they were the bigger drains.
Is that
when we were on the farm?
Oh,
still.
When you're on the farm.
Back on the farm.
Yeah. So on the farm, you had you did the smaller drains, and then someone came
up and
did
the bigger
ones. And the big ones. Yeah.
And he kidded to me that he could make me a radio with 9 pieces of wire. And I was quite interested in this because I've been interested in radio.
Right.
At the time, so I duly got 9 pieces of wire for him and took them down to him.
Right.
And consequently, he took one and threw one away and said, well, yeah, I told you it was a wireless.
Yeah. So your family business stayed in Rangatira, though?
A number of years in. When I closed it up, when I come to town to work.
Right.
That was the end of that.
Right.
Mm.
But you had a lovely interest in tractors too, didn't you?
I had an interest in tractors. while working with tractors, while working on the farm, a man by the name of Mr. Barney Flynn had an old stationary engine, an Anderson, was made in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to Dad, you can come and get it for scrap. And I thought, when are our kids going to know what we old generation put up with having to go and start this engine? And
there was a
Anderson
distillate. What was that? A steam engine or
stationary petrol?
Petrol, yeah.
Petrol stationary engine.
Mm.
But some of them, the ones that come from England, were Blackstone.
Yeah.
Blackstones had to have a fire lit under them to get them hot enough to make them go.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, while you're waiting to get cows milked, and you're trying to get this thing to go, was yet hot enough.
Yeah.
But sometimes the wind would be blowing, and sometimes it wouldn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So consequently, they weren't overly popular.
Yes.
Yeah.
They went out a little bit. They were kerosene engines.
Okay.
Mr. McIntyre from Ideal Milking Machines in Palmerston North was sent out from London.
Yeah.
To service these Blackstones.
Mm-hmm.
But they were sort of died natural death.
Mm.
Required to have, they preferred to have petrol engines that were more reliable and start more readily.
Mm.
Didn't have to worry about the wind.
Yeah.
So that was, and I liked tractors, old tractors. I thought, I like these old tractors.
Mm.
You had to crank them. That was quite fascinating.
Yes.
You'd have to be quite fit to crank a tractor, wouldn't you?
They weren't as powerful as they are nowadays. They're a lot easier to crank.
Yeah.
Right,
I had one experience with a Dad bought a truck that was a Morris Commercial, and he backed it in by the shed, and I thought, I sort of watched what he was doing, and I thought, oh, you've got this all right, and I thought, I'll give it a crank after a drive while he's milking the cows. So I give the thing a crank, and I went, it backfired. I forgot to retard the spark.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it was fully advanced, and it backfired and sort of didn't like me cranking it, and I got my head bashed against the radiator.
Ooh,
yeah.
And the radiator was the same shape as a beehive.
Yeah.
And left this imprint on my forehead. It was there for months after.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was my issue. I couldn't have been a telltale, what have you been doing?
So what makes a tractor? Did you get into?
Dad had a O12 and W12, which was McCormick.
Oh, yes.
We had David Brown's.
Mm.
Your thumbles?
Dad knew Mr. Gillies in a Manitou Machinery Exchange.
Mm.
And consequently, they were David Brown agents.
Mm.
Mm.
We ended up with David Brown, him talking to Dad and that. And then Dad had to have something to go hay baling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, we ended up with these David Browns.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one we have is double seat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The reason being
David Brown was a British one, wasn't
British,
it? Yeah.
British. A double seat, people wondered what the double seat was for, but it was just about wartime when they were being made.
Right.
And they had one would persevere with the driving,
right,
and the other one would be watching overhead for any aircrafts coming around to bomb them or whatever the case.
Mm. Okay.
So that was why they had two seats. Otherwise, it wasn't me that had two seats.
Right.
Alice Chalmers was another one that had a double seat.
Mm. Mm. They were American. Were they?
Yes, American.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
American.
Mm.
You never told her anything about your haymaking. That's another story.
Haymaking. You were cutting the hay.
Yeah, he had a business. He was a contractor.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did a lot of baling around this area here.
Okay. So when was that? Was that once you were living in town?
Well, that was in the summertime. We've only made hay in the summertime, consequently,
right.
So we just left everything.
Right.
But your father did it too, with
everything.
You?
Everything. Dad did it on hold.
Right, right.
And
very different way of doing it to how they do it nowadays.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, the other was a hard yakker.
Yeah.
Your dad did the baling, the hay baler.
Mm.
And my brother and I, we carted the hay.
Mm.
My uncle cut the hay and raked it. Dad baled it. We carted it.
Mm.
I had it, my heyday, I had six boys working for us all told.
Mm.
Three boys per truck.
Mm.
Two TK Bedford trucks.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
It was hard work, but the boys liked it.
Mm.
They got paid as a holiday job for them from school.
Mm.
You had the conveyor that was attached to the side of the truck to take the bales up on.
An international loader.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good. If you stopped, it stopped.
Mm.
Mm.
It was better than the ones with the motor on it, because if the motor went, you were lucky. If it didn't go, well, you were sunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
So consequently, we preferred to have the ground-driven ones.
But
we did have an elevator that would shoot it up into the shed.
Okay.
Mm.
That would put the bale on this end and then pick it up at the other end.
Mm. Mm.
It was obviously very different, wasn't it, back in 1945 with farming and hay baling and all those things to today, and the technology and the difference, isn't it, over that whole span?
It's all mechanical nowadays.
Yes,
there's not much hands-on at all now.
No.
Yeah, and the craft, you know, you're talking about the craft of welding and...
Oh, yes.
You know, those sorts of things.
We have moved on.
We have moved on, haven't
we? And I don't know whether it's for the better altogether.
No.
In some things, yes, it is.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for sharing your story. It was great.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.